Welcome to all of you. Council has organized this praise evening to introduce the Trinity Psalter hymnal, which is new to us. And this is a significant shift to switch hymnals or songbooks that we use for corporate worship, and it's fitting that we mark it with an event like this to make that transition. And we believe that this new Trinity Psalter hymnal will serve us well for decades to come, just as what we know as the True Blue has served us well for decades in the past. And we also believe that it's going to be a real blessing for us as a congregation. And we believe that you will appreciate this new hymnal. You'll appreciate the newness, I think. There's going to be some new tunes, some new songs that we will come to know and love as time goes. But I think you'll also appreciate it because of the continuity, the level of similarity with the Blue Psalter hymnal that we're used to. In the front of the Psalter hymnal, on the you don't have to look there, but I'll read a brief portion of it. In the musical introduction to the Trinity Psalter hymnal, the authors and producers make this note about the level of continuity between the old Psalter hymnal and this one. They say, in the hymn portion of the book, for hundreds of selections, the committee has sought to preserve the best hymns from our respective denominations' current hymnals. So for hundreds of hymns, that means there are actually a total of 458 hymns in the Trinity Psalter hymnal. Noticeably more hymns in this new hymnal. But in the midst of adding many new, they have preserved 90% of the old, what's familiar to us in the URC and what's familiar to the OPC. It's been retained approximately 90%. And they say here, these hymns have been well tried and tested for decades and have served our churches as we gave worship to our God. The hymns included in this volume that are new to the denominations were selected to fill topical, scriptural, or liturgical needs and to increase the representation of sung praise from both the earliest days of hymnody and into the modern era. So the stuff that's new will fill out things like the Lord's Supper or some more hymns on the Holy Spirit. And also some contemporary hymns. You'll find a few, for example, from Keith and Kristen Getty, just to name one example. But you'll also find many of the oldest, best, most dearly loved hymns. And one other thing to note about this praise evening is because we are introducing something new, we're going to be singing hymns and psalms tonight, all of which are new in some way, whether it's small or great. So there are many that are exactly the same, but we're not singing those tonight because we want to show you the new and introduce that and familiarize ourselves with that. Might be just a slight change in the tune, might be same words to a new tune, or a new tune with old words, or new altogether. But that's what we're looking at tonight as we sing. So let's just begin by, I'll read a brief passage of Scripture, and that will usher us into a moment of prayer to commit this evening to the Lord. Colossians 3, verses 15 and 16, we read this: "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to the Lord in your hearts." Let's come to God in prayer. Father, we give you thanks that you give us the gift of song. And we thank you for the gift of songs to sing. We thank you for the gift of this new Trinity Psalter hymnal. And we pray that it would be used to let your word dwell richly in our hearts. And as we sing from this hymn book, in the decades to come, we pray that it would be used of you to grow us in our wisdom and to help us express our hearts of thanks to you, to help us express our praise to you as we gather together from week to week and as we sing from them from time to time in our homes. Accept our praise that we lift up before you this evening, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're going to begin by singing number 95B, and that's going to be new to you, the letter behind the Psalms. The new Psalter hymnal is easy to identify the Psalms because the number on the top left of the page, the number of the song in the Psalm section corresponds to the Psalm that it is a rendering of. And if there is more than one rendering of a psalm, the selections are delineated with A, B, C, D, etc. The A selection is always a full versification of the entire psalm. And that's something new to this hymnal. Full versification of the entire psalm. Let's sing, though, number 95B at this time. And we're going to stand and sing. And it's just the first three stanzas that we will sing together. So let's stand and praise the Lord with this psalm. Please stay standing for this next one. And some of these songs have slightly more musically advanced aspects to them. Rachel is going to step in and offer a comment on a few of those, beginning with this one.
All right, so this next one, 98A, might be familiar to some of you. It was in the Reformed Presbyterian book with the same psalm, but there are a few changes. So if you are familiar with this one, just please note there's a little bit of timing change. And also, if you look at the bottom of the first stanza, here it says the victory he has won. In the previous version, if you're familiar with that, it used to go the victory have won. So it's a bit different how you do the syllables. So just note that. And then also in this piece, the women echo the men. So if you look at the bottom of the page, gentlemen, you'll see your lyrics are at the bottom. Once you get to the bottom of the page, they're underneath all the music. And then the ladies, you keep following along as usual in between. So Heidi's just going to play the men's part quickly and then kind of show you where the ladies come in just so you can hear. So starting at the bottom of the page, just before we sing it, just so you can hear, starting with the victory he has won. Come in here. Okay. So, and we're going to sing stanzas 1 through 5. Thank you.
just want to take a moment to give a bit of background to the production of the book that we are enjoying singing from. This hymn book finds its origins back about 22 years ago. The idea to produce a new songbook was birthed or first voiced during the very first synod of the URCNA churches, which was back in 1996. That's quite a long time ago. What we have in our hands right now is the combined effort, though, not just of one federation, but of the Orthodox Presbyterian churches, the Presbyterian Church of America, and the United Reformed Church of North America, but primarily the first and the last. And it took 22 years to complete it. As one person said, that's long enough for a member of the songbook committee to bear, raise, and graduate a child. So that gives a bit of perspective as to how much work goes into something like this. But it's important because the songs that we sing, the songs of today are the theology of tomorrow. There has to be a lot of careful work that goes into what we sing. Make sure it's textually accurate, make sure the music fits the lyrics, etc. And we can be thankful that all that careful work has been done. And this songbook went through multiple stages. First, as I mentioned, within our own federation in the URCNA Synod when the idea was first birthed. Then there was a time where there was joint work between the Canadian Reformed and the URC. Then it went back to independent work with the URC. And then more recently, and bringing it to its conclusion, with the Orthodox Presbyterian churches. And John Van Dyke of the Christian Renewal magazine reflects upon it and says it was worth the wait. So obviously he enjoys the new Trinity Psalter hymnal. And it made its first appearance at the concurrent meetings of the URCNA Synod in June 2018, along with the Orthodox Presbyterian Church's General Assembly. And it was a thorough joy to have primarily men, but a few women, join their voices and sing from it. And it's also a real display of church unity. Jesus prayed in John 17 that his disciples, his church, would be one as he and the Father were one. And by that, Jesus is not praying that all people join under one federational banner. That'd be impossible because you'd have to rent something bigger than the Sky Dome to ever have a meeting. But what he was praying for was unity in spirit and in purpose among believers. And with this Trinity Psalter hymnal, we have a real testimony of that kind of unity. And you'll see evidence of that not only in the fact that this is the hymnal for the OPC and the URC, but also the confessions of the OPC, the Westminster Standards, are in the back of this hymn book along with our three forms of unity. And this is a first ever in history that we know of. That's a testimony to church unity. So we thank the Lord for that, and we pray that this will be a blessing to his church for years to come. Let's stand again and sing number 147A, singing stanzas 1 through 3 and 5. 147A, stanzas 1 through 3 and 5.
All right, so the next one is Psalm 148a. In this piece, you'll see again that there's lyrics underneath the music here. So there's different parts for the tenors and the basses. So the tenors are going to hold the note on, say, on the first stanza, it's Lord. The tenors will hold that note, and underneath the basses are going to do an echo of it. So if you're a tenor or a bass, you can see there's a different part for the tenors and basses on the first line. And then on the second page, there's an echo, a little bit of a different part for the tenors and basses again. So they'll be singing different timing to the soprano and the alto. So just listen really carefully when Heidi's going to play this through, and I might just kind of jump in while she's playing and just let you know here's where the tenors and the basses come in. So she'll play the whole piece through as an intro. So the tenors hold this note.
We have a bit of a flavor as to some of the new psalms that we find in our new Psalter hymnal. I just want to take a moment to reflect on the prominent place of music in worship. In an average worship service, we sing minimum of 5 songs, and that takes approximately 5 minutes apiece. You times that out, you get 25 minutes. We spend about a third to a half of our worship service singing. And the Bible calls us to sing. There are extensive references in the Psalms where God calls his people to sing praise to him. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul echoes those calls to praise through song. And we see that at different periods in redemptive history, when God does something remarkable, when there's a remarkable new step moving redemptive history forward, his people write a new song. For example, after the Israelites crossed the Red Sea, Moses wrote a song, Exodus 15. After Deborah was instrumental in gaining victory over Sisera, she wrote a song. After Jesus was born, the angels broke through the night sky and sang a song. When Mary received an announcement that she would bear a son, she wrote a song. Same with Zechariah, when he heard he would have John the Baptist, he wrote a song. So God's people are a singing people. We celebrate redemptive acts of history. And the reason that we have more than just psalms in here, while we have so many hymns reflecting on the life of Christ, is because he is the greatest, his coming is the greatest act in redemptive history. And singing is also unique to Christian worship. First, just want to just highlight something that's mentioned in the front of the hymn book here. You don't have to turn to it if you don't want, but in the musical introduction to the Trinity Psalter hymnal, on Roman numeral 9, the authors just remind us of what it is that we're doing when we're singing. We can praise God by spoken word, but what is singing? They tell us here that to sing, this is the second paragraph on the Roman numeral 9, to sing, we simply extend or prolong the sound of our speech. Jumping to the end of the paragraph, the effect of that is that our praise is extended, and also the feelings that are elicited and conveyed are magnified. So to sing is just to magnify spoken praise and to intensify the feelings of joy or sadness or whatever the feelings are that are expressed in the song. So let us continue then to sing to the Lord, and Rachel is going to offer up a few comments about the next psalm that we are going to sing.
All right, so the next psalm we're singing is 21a. So there's a few areas on the page I'd just like to point out. So the first thing to note, if you go to the second page at the bottom, it says continued on next page. There are a few psalms in particular in the new Psalter hymnal that have this. So you do have to flip for this piece, okay? Then if you go back to the first page of it, look again at the top of page 2. Don't flip the page, but look again at the top of page 2. There you'll see little numbers written above the top, okay? So it has a 1 and a 2. So that means, and then after that you see a little two dots before the double bar line. So what that means is that when you finish the first stanza, you're going to repeat from there. You're not going to go to the very end of the piece. You're going to repeat, you're going to sing the second stanza, repeat again, and then on the third stanza, you're going to follow where it says the little number 3 on the top and where the lyrics go to the end of the page. Then, because if we're singing all 5 stanzas, then you turn the page, you sing stanza 4, you repeat again, sing stanza 5, and then go follow to the very end of the page. So basically, the last kind of 2 lines of music, you're only singing on stanza 3 and stanza 5. Okay? So you can kind of see how the word jumps over as well. All right? So I believe we're singing all 5 stanzas. Okay?
Well, the high E there, stretching our voices and making sure we have a well-tuned voice. We turn now to a little more familiar hymn, number 182. This is one of a few children's songs that we find in the Trinity Psalter hymnal. There's also to be found, I believe it is, Jesus Loves Me. But this is a very familiar one. And let's sing the first stanza and the fourth stanza of number 182.
All right, the next one is 287. This is a little bit different because the refrain is sung before the first stanza, and then it's sung again after each stanza. So you're going to begin with the refrain, sing the stanza, and you can kind of see at the beginning the refrain. It says R-E-F in front of it. So you sing that part, then you're going to sing the first stanza, and then at the bottom you see it says little letters DC. That's musical terminology to mean you go back to the beginning, sing the refrain, and then at the end it says fine, or looks like fine. That's where you're going to stop. Then you're going to take a breath, and then you're going to sing stanza two, go back to the beginning, and sing the refrain. So it's going to go refrain, first stanza, refrain. So if you only sing one verse of this, it'll be refrain, first stanza, refrain. Okay? So you're going to start and end. We're going to sing stanzas 1, 4, and 5. And can you please stand to sing?
Our next song is Stricken, Smitten, and Afflicted. It's an emotion-laden song that reflects upon the cross of Christ. Let's remain seated as we sing this song. And then, without further announcement, we'll move right into the next song, number 226, Oh, the Deep Unbounded Riches. And I meant to ask Heidi earlier, should we sing it through twice since it's only one stanza, the 226? We'll sing number 226 two times since it's only one verse, just to get the new tune into our heads. Just a reflection for a moment again on singing. If you go to any other religious place of worship, you will not find people worshiping like this. Allah does not call for worship through song. As a matter of fact, it's not permitted. Hindus, they might chant, but they won't sing. Buddhists, the same thing. This kind of singing to worship God is unique to the people of the one true and living God. It's a joy, it's a pleasure that we have and that He calls us to. Let's enjoy the pleasure of singing again by standing to sing number 277, Before the Throne of God Above. And it's a song that reflects on the blessings that we have because of the sacrifice of Christ. Let's stand and sing. Elder Laos is going to lead us in a closing prayer, and then following that, we will sing our final song, Holy God, We Praise Your Name. It's going to be a familiar tune, but different words, so that will be our closing hymn of praise, and afterward, there will be refreshments downstairs, so please come on down and enjoy them.
Before we close our eyes in prayer, let me make a few comments, if I may. It may take 2 minutes. First of all, we ought to recommend Council for organizing this evening, a beautiful evening of song, which we may share with our little ones. Some of us, children and grandchildren, it's great to sing to the praise and honor of God. And also, Rachel, thank you for your instruction. And I'll do my best to keep half of it in mind. Now, early this week, I was asked by someone, "Are you coming Friday?" I said, "Yeah, sure, I'm planning to come, but I'm bringing my blue sweater." I'm just trying to say, I guess, changes will come, we know that. But to some it will come easier than to others. And of course, there's a bit of sadness at me and maybe other older people to see a very familiar hymn book go and be introduced to a new one. But I think the way it's done, it's very profitable, very good, very God-honoring. As an older generation, I gladly take a half a step aside so that the younger may step a half a step forward. Listen well, a half a step. So, in that sense, I think we ought to be grateful and we ought to be giving. Tonight we have been united in fellowship in order to introduce this book. Let us go forward the same way, united in fellowship, and use it to our honor and glory, to God's honor and glory, and to our benefit. Let me say this in closing, that I only kept half my promise I made earlier this week. Yes, I did come, and I am here, but I did not bring my blue sweater. So, let us go forward as a congregation with this new book of praise. And let us go to God in thanksgiving and in prayer to Him. Let us pray. Our heavenly and merciful God and Father, we draw nigh before Thee in all humbleness of heart, for that is our right place. Thou art from above, and we are from below. Thou art sinless and perfect, and we are sinful and imperfect. What a great wonder it is, O Lord, that we may draw nigh to Thee in the name of Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For certainly we may not do so, and we dare not do so in ourselves. But wilt Thou accept our praise and our thanksgiving in His name? We thank Thee for the occasion we had tonight, that we may sing praises to Thy name with our little ones, with all our children. It is an honor for us to do so, and help us to continue in that, for Thou hast done a great work in and for us, that Thou hast sent Thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down to this earth to die for our sins, so that we may be set free, free from sin. Thou hast taken us out of darkness and put us into Thy marvelous light. How can we not praise Thee, O Lord? It is a shame to us if we do not do so. For even the birds of the air praise Thee day by day. May we take an example of them, that we may never cease to praise Thee for all Thou hast done for us. Continue now to bless us as a congregation. Also, when we use this new book, we pray, O Father, that Thy blessing would rest upon it, and that You may do so to our benefit, but above all, to Thy glory, to Thy honor. Accept so our thanksgiving, and hear our prayer, in Jesus' name. Amen. And we will sing one more song.
Let's stand.